Hi, my name is Roy Collin, and welcome to the show. I've also got Fight Podcast, The Awakening Podcast, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions, The Crypto Podcast, talking about all things blockchain, NFTs, crypto, The Meditation Podcast, talking about all different types of meditation, but there's also meditations there from 1 minute to 2 hours. And the other one's the Learn Polish Podcast, so if you're interested in learning Polish, you can do that. And the other one is Speaking with Roy Collin. And I just have guests from around the world talking about either public speaking or also about their book or just general life in general. And you find everything on bio.link/podcaster. I'm also a podcasting coach. And you see the QR code there. And it's also on my link as well. And if you're interested in actually going on some podcast shows, I'm helping people doing that. Or if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com. He helps people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. So be sure to check him out, danielpacker.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Speaking Podcast. You can find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com. My guest today, American, but currently in beautiful Panama, which I would love to be there, but unfortunately I'm not, but I like lovely Poland as well. So my guest, he's an ex-army vet, a life coach, trainer, speaker as well. So please welcome Dirk Johnson.
Hey, Roy, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So I suppose, I mean, I just give bullet points, but you might let the listeners know a bit more about Dirk.
Yeah, for sure. So I spent 10 years in the U.S. Army. So I grew up, my father was Army for 25 plus years, and my mother was a kindergarten teacher. So my mother's German, very gung-ho, classic German, aggressive and professional. And my father is African-American, and he was military, and he grew up on a farm. So you have the farm boy slash military, and then you have the German city girl with the focused mind. And then they helped me cultivate the discipline, consistency, and all that. So growing up, I just always saw both parents awake early. So that inspired me with fitness, that inspired me with sports and with the military. And I just went there, and I just always knew that I would end up loving helping people, whether it was physically or mentally. So being in sports, being in the classroom, I always enjoyed being the leader, the group leader, or helping others. So I was always trying to improve and empower other people. And especially because of a dark upbringing in regards to family, alcoholism, drugs run on both sides of the family. So if people can relate, there's a lot of dark nights that happen with that. If you're the child just exposed to it, not knowing what's going on, but taking all those experiences and being able to help others in an impactful way, that's my whole intent.
Brilliant. And I suppose with what you've just mentioned there, growing up in a kind of a dark upbringing, because a lot of people, I mean, there's a very high percentage of people that there's problems in the household, and they're either told to be quiet about it, or they kind of the shame factor. And I think the reason that it continues is people aren't talking about it. And like, as a child, you might kind of take us through that journey, like, because you know, it's like obviously with the military, you know, your father was military. They tend to be strict anyway, from, you know, my experience with talking to people. So like, you might just kind of talk about your upbringing and how it was for you and the mindset and everything that, you know, at a young age.
Yes, for sure. So everything shifted at the age of 11. And I don't know if anything was happening to them currently at that time, or if it was just from the past was spilling in, but they both grew up as the oldest of their brothers and sister. So they were the parents of all the kids, the siblings, because their mom would be at work, and they both did not really have their fathers in their life. And there was a lot of spousal abuse, child abuse, just a lot of crazy upbringings on both sides. And they were the parent of their siblings. So dealing with that, dealing with war, with my dad was in multiple deployments, and then a lot of personal things with my mother. So I think that spilled into when I was age 11, that spilled into when they would drink. So they were very successful in their careers, very well known in different countries and everything. So as a child, I never wanted to ruin somebody's reputation by talking about it. So fitness became my outlet. So instead of talking to my friends, my teachers, whoever at church, I would just keep it to myself because I didn't want to complain. I was never the type to complain about my situation. The reason why I was obsessed with learning stories of individuals that went through things way worse. And I wasn't trying to pretend my situation didn't exist, but I would always read biographies, autobiographies and watch movies of people that had a worse upbringing. They grew up in foster care. They were missing their arms and legs. They had bombings every other week in Syria. So I would take my mind to those things and say, you know what? I do get screamed at. I do get hit. I do get yelled at when they're drunk. But at least I have air conditioning in Florida. At least we have food. We have multiple bedrooms. We have a swimming pool in Florida. It's like there's all these positive things that were in it. So I told myself, I'm not allowed to complain. I need to take what's happening and learn from it. I don't know where that came from, but it was always driving me to train harder. So I was the little kid that was very skinny. So at home, I had fear. In school, I was getting bullied and I had fear. And one day between the age 11 and 12, I woke up and I said, enough is enough. I need to learn how to harness my body. So I picked up Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodybuilding book, Bruce Lee, Men's Health, bodybuilding magazines, just everything I could to learn about the body and learn about the mind. And then I started training, weight training. And then by the age of 15, I had like a total body transformation. And my friends were like, whoa, you used to be the skinny, scared kid. Now you're in great shape. And I fell in love with the confidence, but to be able to give other people that confidence. So from those dark nights between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m., about 300 nights a year, I would just work out late night and early morning to calm my mind. And after I would exercise, I would fall in love with that calmness. And that's where I would work on my faith. And then I always feel and I always believe that everybody who's been through trauma to an extent, we all have been given a gift. And I feel that my gift as a child and as a teenager was discernment. Some would call it consciousness. Some would call it being able to read energy. But being around people, I was always very calm because anything outside of the house was easy. So I was always a calm, quiet, laid back kid. So people would come up to me and just like, tell me their life, tell me their pain. And I noticed it would happen a lot. But then when I would think back, I'd say, I used to be in those shoes where I didn't have anybody to talk to, like family. We've never really been close. So I would sometimes speak to other people, not about that exact situation, but just about other things. And I noticed that I was always guided to go do that thing. Even if I didn't feel like having a conversation, I was always guided to be there and listen to people or give them advice. So it was interesting. So it started with fitness because I got tired of being bullied at home and at school. And then from there, I fell in love with training the mind and then being able to give that to others and seeing them thrive, no longer being bullied, having confidence, being happy. I got really excited about doing that. And I always wondered, how can I do this long term? And I always had a vision that I would be training and then also doing a lot of mental coaching. And that's what inspired me along the journey. So fitness was step one to harness myself. So I no longer got affected at home or by the bullies at school. And then two was the mindset. And the mindset came from sports, martial arts, and just overall reading and learning. So between age 11 and 12, I just got obsessed. And I said, I'm not going to live this way and just be bullied by everybody and be scared and small. So I had to change that.
And like you mentioned, your parents were the eldest, but they went through their own little journey as well, like the abuse.
Yes.
And I have noticed that that happens a lot because a lot of the times the people, they just kind of blame their own parents because of who they are, not realizing that this is a kind of chain reaction. And I think the mindset of the act of forgiveness, it's not really you're forgiving them. It's like it's healing you as well.
Exactly. And 100% agree with you because I used to have anger and resentment and hate towards a lot of my family. And I wouldn't say anything, but I would just have this rage. And I would always listen to dark music. Even if I was in a positive state, I would listen to dark music, but more so because I related to the artist, the rock star, the rapper, the singer, whoever. I didn't even care what genre it is, but I would relate to their story so much because the alcoholism, a glass being thrown at you, being punched, like all this other stuff. And so I would relate to the music and it would fuel me, but I would feel connected. So I think the connection with family is what I was lacking. And that's why I would always connect with other people, my friends, their family, strangers in public. And people would always be like, wow, you're actually listening. As in most people, they don't even pay attention. Like you could be talking about something. They're on their phone, they're daydreaming. And I would be really present with them because I knew what it felt like for nobody to listen. Like my family would never listen. They'd be like, shut up, go sit down, blah, blah. So I would just keep it to myself. So once I'd be around people, I was like, huh, this is interesting. And then I really loved learning. Once I heard Tony Robbins the first time, one of the key things that really stood out to me was one of his quotes, life is happening for you, not to you. And when I first heard that as a teen, I said, wow, this makes total sense now because this happened and I have a different perspective. So then I started to learn how to perspective hop. So younger me was angry and I would have this vision that once I become successful, I'm going to go home with a duffel bag of cash and drop it in their house and say, you, and throw the middle finger up and then like walk out. And I just always had that vision, but it shifted at the age of 17. And I was like, all right, that was an interesting analogy, but I'm not going to do that. And then it shifted. And I said, I'm wasting too much energy and anger that I would always be tired. And sometimes my friends would ask me, hey, are you okay? And I noticed I was in a good mood, but I would just be so angry towards family. And I told myself, I have to release this because I can't just waste all this energy and I'm not allowing them to have power over me. So then I made a promise to myself at 17. And I said, I will no longer let people get the reaction from me that they expect. So my family used to expect me to get quiet, really scared and all that. Then I would start to speak up. I wouldn't yell or fight. I would just speak up. And then eventually it became just stillness. And I could tell the bully at school, the family, whoever was in your face yelling, when you just have a blank face and then there's no fear in your eyes, they would get even more mad. And then I realized, I was like, calmness is the cure. So I released the anger, released the hate and all that. And I just flipped it into positivity to help more people. And then people would mention something to them or family or to the bullies. And they're like, yeah, he helped me with this. He helped me with that. And I wouldn't say anything to them. But then they would hear, they're like, wow, he's working with all these people. And I would just let that speak for itself. Opposed to just being angry and having that resentment, I strictly focus on helping others. And it was really freeing. But also, I think about it, I do tap into the dark side sometimes for a workout, or if you haven't really slept good in 4 days in business, you just got to get in that zone. But I don't live there. I know how to turn it on and turn it off. So it's always been interesting to have that perspective where I could hop into a future version and look at my current version, and then hop into a younger version to look at my current and future version. And I would perspective hop. So that way I would never allow whatever's happening right now to like throw me off or put me in a dark place. And I'd always look at it and say, okay, yes, I'm annoyed. Yes, I'm sad. Yes, I might have anxiety in the moment, but what is this teaching me and what can I control?
Excellent. And with the martial arts then as well, because sometimes, you know, people think, you start doing martial arts, especially if you're being bullied or you're bullying yourself, that it just kind of gets worse. But the reality is you start fighting less when you start doing martial arts because you get self-control and you start respecting it a lot more, the power.
Oh, yes, 100%. My sensei is definitely an individual that helped cultivate and change my life a lot as a teenager because I was never fighting in school. I did have to my first couple of times when we moved to America. So I realized that the difference was being mixed. So black father, German mother, some people in the South in America, they didn't know what I was. They're like, is he Puerto Rican? Is he this? Is he that? And I was just there to try to play sports and go to class. And I realized that I had to prove myself, quote unquote, to certain people because I looked a certain way. And in my head, I saw it and I would think about my sensei. And he's like, if you need to fight, then make sure those people see it so nobody else messes with you. And I was getting bullied and I said, okay, the only way that I'm not going to have drama at school is if I literally just stand up to the bully. And I did it. And I remember busting his nose in middle school and it happened in front of everybody on the basketball court and everybody laughed. And then I just walked away. But in that moment, that bully never messed with me again. So I embarrassed him in front of everybody. I didn't get in trouble in the school because nobody saw it. I didn't like jump on top of him. My younger self wanted to jump on top and let years of pain out, but I said, no, I might not stop. I might go in blackout mode. So I walked away. And then from there, people stopped bullying me at school because they saw, it's like, all right, we can't keep pushing him because one day he's going to snap. But it was interesting. So besides that, I never had to like unleash on somebody because of the calmness. And that's definitely one thing that martial arts helped me with the most. I don't have kids yet. But if my girlfriend and I in the future do have kids, I would definitely get him or her into martial arts, more so for the mental aspect, the calmness, and being able to know how to defend yourself and only using it if you need to. But that's definitely the beauty of it, is that stillness and calmness. And it's interesting, especially like in America, the alpha male bravado or testosterone and UFC and MMA, it's like, just fight. People that are like that, they usually have no skill, but the calmest people that really are martial artists, you can never really tell that they're in MMA unless like they post about it on social media because they're so calm, positive, and good. And it's always been interesting to me. So all the bullies, they would always have all the MMA gear on their shirts. Oh yeah, I'm into boxing, I'm into this. But real martial artists were always the calmest, nicest, most humble people. And I always was inspired by them because I was like, he could take everybody in this room or she could take everybody in this room, but they're the nicest person. And I always thought that that was interesting because of the opposite of what you grow up seeing. You think the tough guy is the one that's loud and all aggressive and has 15 tattoos and all that. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. It's usually the guy who has the most self-awareness and emotional control that who you got to watch out for.
I always fear the calm person is the guy that's screaming and shouting, you know, this is good. They have no control.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And with your father then, when you went into the military, was it something he was pushing or was it something you just decided to do? And how was his reaction to you actually going into the same kind of career?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it was actually myself. I knew that I had to face my fears. As a kid and then as a teenager, I had a fear of heights. And I said, I have to face this. If I don't face these fear of heights, then it's going to cripple me like other things. So it was more so like my conscience was having that uncomfortable knot in my stomach, but I knew that I had to join to go through these obstacle courses, go in a plane, jump out of a helicopter. Like I knew I had to face these things to get over it. And that's a big reason I got into it. And besides that, I always thought of the future. I never wanted college debt. Can't speak for all countries, but in America, the system is effed.
It's insane.
The system is flawed. And I was like, I'm not going to be in debt. And I would tell my friends, I'm like, I'm not being in debt. And I had a lot of friends who have master's, PhD and all this. And nowadays they're struggling. And I'm like, dude, you have all this criteria on paper, but you have over 400,000 in debt. Like, this is insane.
I heard the other day that it's like, it takes most of them 20 years to write off the debt after they start working. And yeah, there's that are retired and it comes out of their social welfare checks because they never actually got the pay it off. And it's like, that's insane.
It's such a flawed system. And I was like, this is a scam. So that's another big reason is one, I wanted to face my fears. Two, I did not want any college debts, things of that nature. And then three, I knew that it would look good on a resume. So I was always thinking of the future. I never wanted to do 20 plus and retire. That was never my passion. But I wanted to utilize it to get skills, connect, travel the world, and then say, all right, time's up, adios, time to go do something else. So I always looked at the long-term vision. So from my dad's perspective, he was proud that I joined and he knew that I would do well because I had the discipline, the physical, the mental, and all that. And he was always proud of that, but he knew that I wasn't going to stay long-term. But also the army when he was in was different than when I was in. Because we had different opportunities. So I actually did satellite communications. So I was a tech nerd. I loved the internet, radios, satellites, just everything about it. And it also played in with like social media, because when I was in the middle of nowhere on the computer, when everybody was sleeping, I would be on my phone learning Facebook ads, learning Google ads, and just like practicing, because I knew I had to reach more people with inspiring and impactful content. So I think that my own healing came from social media. So literally since the age of like 14, I've used every social media app, but I always posted motivational stuff. And like for, I would say the first 6 or 7 years, it was me talking to my younger self. And everybody would be like, man, I really felt that post or that video or this. And I never said it, but I was literally talking to my younger version. And people are like, man, it feels like you're talking to me. And it was all just from experience rather than just like, rah, 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 trying to hype people up but not living it. It was more so from personal experience. So with the military, I knew that that would be part of my resume, quote unquote, and it would tie into fitness and everything else. So I just always looked at path. What can I do along the life of path to have things to help me become better and then go towards my real passion, which is helping people in a deep way and basically healing myself along the journey to help to then help heal others.
And I know you mentioned the fitness, but you've got some, is it presidential awards, fitness awards in the army?
Yes. So With the Army and along with other military branches, you have the PT test. Nowadays, I have a different test, but basically you have a criteria for your height and your age. And then if you hit the percentile of each exercise, then you can get a max test. So at that time, it was a 2 mile run, 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups. So I would always have the highest score. And then compared to other battalions or other states, they would look at it. And then from there, you would compete with others doing other events. And I would always would go all out with that. But fitness was just always my passion. So since childhood, I had an obsession with pushing my body and mind past all limits. Like I would run until I would throw up. I would just do this stuff. My friends were like, dude, you're crazy. But they didn't realize that that was like my high. Like I had to push myself and then I would just be calm. And I lost all fear because when you push yourself that hard, you're like, what else is there? Like we deal with family. We deal with this. Life is easy from here. Like the everyday stress, slow Wi-Fi, bills, whatever. It's like those things don't really stress that person. So I was just preparing myself for life because I got tired of just being that scared kid. But yes, so that rage I let out through fitness and performance rather than violence, negative aggression and all that. I strictly used it for workouts and also like the intensity to help other people. But I would compete with that. And it was more so just a challenge for myself. Okay, I could do this with my mind. What can I do with my body? Oh, I'll go do that. Okay, I'm still scared of this. So let me face that. And I would just check these mental boxes for myself because I knew that it would be eating me in my mind if 10 years later, I didn't try that test. I didn't jump out of that plane. I didn't climb up that tower, whatever it was. I knew that it would eat at me.
Brilliant, brilliant. And like when you are helping people speak, because loads fear public speaking. And I mean, a lot of the things that you're talking about, like say the martial arts, the training, they'll definitely help. But like, what's the best way? Because everyone has different ways of trying to encourage people to overcome that fear. And I'd love to know your thoughts on that one.
Yeah. So the fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
I always first like to start with the individual's body and mind rather than like vocal tonality tips, anything else. Because usually the person that's scared to speak, they're just not confident within themselves. So they could read every public speaking book, but if they think their shirt doesn't fit right, if they think that their body language is wrong or like they can't stand tall, I would first start with the physical aspect and not about big muscles, abs, bigger butt for the woman or anything like that, but more so confidence to hold themselves in a powerful state. Because mentally, if that person shows up and they love how that polo fits them, they love how the black shirt or the suit or the dress fits them, they're going to show up as a different person and people can feel that energy. So I always challenge the individual to say, what can he or she do to make themselves physically feel more confident? And everybody has their own definition, but if anybody's been to a professional banquet, a function, the gentleman put on a suit or a tux, the women put on a gown or a dress, in that night, that's probably the most confident night of their whole year because they're dressed to the T and they're like, wow, I'm on point. So I use that analogy because if somebody gets in amazing shape, most attire that they put on, they will feel almost the same, even though it's not a tuxedo, because they're proud of their presence. So opposed to having one day a year or one day every couple of years to feel that proud and confident, let's improve our body and mindset to show up as that person and then start to speak. Because sometimes that person literally was just lacking the self-confidence. It wasn't so much the public speaking skills, because you could put them in front of people they're comfortable with and they crush it. And you're like, this is the same person, but they're just comfortable around these people and they're amazing. So it usually stems from how they view themselves. So I first start from the inside out, their mentality and their physicality to improve their posture, body language and all that. And then go into like the speaking modalities, tonality, things of that nature.
Yeah, I love that. And because I know you do kind of like workshops in person and online. And I mean, I see, yes, just from, you know, those that are watching on Spotify or YouTube or BitChute, Rumble, whatever, they can see you've got fantastic camera work. You're looking straight at the thing. I mean, I have my camera there, and you know, when I'm kind of doing intro and outro, I do it, but I like to see the reaction and I'm looking, but you have a very good setup as well. So I suppose you might touch on both the in-person workshops and when it went online and if it had, you know, kind of hybrid as well sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So for the in-person, I would first check your own energy and your own state. So definitely the best speakers, male and female, the reason they're good, one, they can storytell, but also they could do a rapid state change where if they see the audience and they all look kind of nervous, read the room and open up with a joke, open up with a question. If you see they're very uptight, just approach it differently, because sometimes people, they end up too scripted. I'm going to say this in the intro, then I'm going to go to here, then I'm going to tell the story, because if I say it before, it's not going to be right. And they're just thinking about everything they're going to say too much. So I would focus on be the teacher rather than the speaker. Be the teacher rather than the speaker. And what I mean by that is, what can I do to bring value to these people? Yes, they look half asleep today because they heard 10 other speakers. Yes, they look like, who's this young guy? Like, everybody's been to an extent in person or online where everybody just kind of prejudges them, but they can show up and say, how can I provide value? Because if they focus on being the teacher rather than the speaker, then they're going to be worried about how they look, how they sound, how's my hair? Do I have a bump on my forehead? How does my voice sound? I was coughing all morning. And if they start doing all that, they're going to be terrible at their talk because they're so worried about themselves. So I would show up and say, how can I make these people feel this topic and bring the most value? And that would be number one for in person, especially because a lot of people, they get intimidated when they make eye contact with a group in a room. It could be 10 or it could be 100. But if they show up, make eye contact, and they're just intense and they bring that energy, people are going to feel it much more. Because if that individual says, I'm showing up to teach them something and provide value, especially if they paid to be there or they're paying with their time. We've all listened to a speaker where they put us asleep or we didn't care because they were just monotone. Like, an example could be, no offense to Bill Gates, no offense to Elon Musk, but most people would not watch a speech by them unless they're into tech. That one time a year, two times a year when they come out with a new product or service, then they might be like, oh, okay. But if they hear a Tony Robbins, Mel Robbins, any of these other power speakers, people go to their events for 12 hours straight or 4 days in a row, and they don't get tired of hearing them. But a 10-minute video from Elon Musk might put somebody to sleep, even though he's a genius and I respect him, but that is the difference. He can't keep somebody's attention that is not into that tech thing. So going back to the individual, how can they show up with the best energy and the best value to teach people something? So that way they don't get stuck in that tone. And most importantly, they don't show up and think, oh shit, how do I look? How do I sound? And they start being selfish.
Brilliant. What I'd like to do is kind of go back, because you're after giving some fantastic tips there on the speaking. And I think, with what's going on in the world, there's a load of kind of young teenagers that are kind of going through what you've gone through.
Yeah.
If you could kind of coach them, give them a bit of hope, what's the best way for them to get their head in the right place?
That's a great question. I appreciate that. So if they're also dealing with alcoholism, family, drugs, aggression, maybe just negative, angry, dark energy at home, I would first say, find something for the body and find something for the mind. As in, some people love running. As a teen, I would run sometimes, but I love weightlifting. If weightlifting is your thing, awesome. If it's boxing, if it's ballet, for some people it's dancing, choose something, one or two things that's physical so you can move the body. Because you have to release that. If not, it's going to be so pent up that you're going to get in a fight at school, at the mall, at the restaurant. Because most teens, they erupt because they're trying to release. They haven't released whatever's in, and that's why they're fighting, doing all this aggressive stuff. So step one, choose something physical. Step two is going to be choose something mental to do every day. That could be prayer. That could be meditation. It could be visualization. And if they've never done any of those things, find somebody who does those things and learn, or go on YouTube. There's many videos. You can learn these things, just the basics. But first, move the body so you can have some sense of calmness, and then open the mind and do something with prayer, visualization, meditation. You can even do writing, but really face yourself. So anytime that negative feeling or emotion comes up, don't try to mask it with music, alcohol, social aspects, video games, like whatever it is. Everybody has a thing that they go to when they're just about to face that thing. So I would say to face that thing after you've already moved the body, because then your mind is calmer, you're not self-judging, and then you can think clear. because many people, they haven't physically like done much in weeks or months, and they feel like they're drowning in anxiety, depression, problems, and all that. And anytime that family keeps attacking them, they just feel lower and lower. And other people feel like they're boiling. They're that tea kettle about to like blow up on somebody. But if somebody's consistently moving their body and working on their mind or faith, then they're going to make better decisions and their reactions will be much calmer and controlled. So those would be the first two things. Choose something for the body, choose something for the mind. And last but not least is try to mentor somebody that's younger than you. So if you are 15, you are 17, if you are at a youth camp, or if you're in martial arts, like when I was in martial arts, my instructor made me teach the kids classes, especially when he could tell that I was mad. I would show up and he's like, yeah, he just wants to hit the bag. And he's like, hey, before you could touch the bag, you're going to teach the kids classes for 2 hours. And in my head, I'm like, I came here to hit the bag and do all the aggressive. I need a release. And he's like, no, you need to control it and go teach the class. That's what you're going to do for 2 hours. And I was like, yes, sir. And I would go teach. And it was crazy, like how I had to flip that so quick, because I can't be yelling at little kids. So I'm bringing up that example because if that teen or kid has somebody that they can mentor, they're going to show up better and they'll stop thinking so much of their issues or problems. Again, we're not pretending it doesn't exist, but they start to fall in love with showing up better for other people when they don't let personal and family get to them that much, because they've been working on mind, working on body, and most importantly, being able to help somebody else. Because when we're in it, we're selfish. Why me, God? Why me, universe? Why is this happening? Why me? We have all felt that way. But if we're not moving the body, opening the mind, and helping other people, then we're always going to feel me. We're not going to see anything else but problems. So those would be my three suggestions: body, mind, and mentor somebody else.
Fantastic, beautiful advice. And just finally, because you've got a business as well, I will get you clients. And because you mentioned about that, you know, when you were working with the military, that, you know, you were learning all the social media. So it's both that and also like for you promoting, because I always like to ask people what they recommend for social media, because, you know,
yes,
you know, we actually mentioned prior to recording, I think, about LinkedIn, that it's got a bit kind of spammy, which is a shame. But I'd love to know what you know, one, you might talk about that business is helping people, clients, but two, what you'd recommend in kind of the speaking field and things like that, coaching.
Yeah, for sure. So the main two things that I do are coaching and marketing. So one is a coaching business strictly to help people identify their patterns that are not helping them, break those patterns so they can thrive and not just feel like they're surviving. Because many people, they're good at one or two things and they try to hide the rest of things, relationships, money, like whatever their thing is, we try to pint that. The other one is marketing. So teaching people how to market their personal brand or their business, but in an authentic way, not just in the normal way where everybody feels like a number. So my biggest piece of advice for social media, if it's for somebody's personal brand or business, would be to focus on the who rather than the how and the what. So the how and the what is an objective for Google ads, an objective for Facebook ads, copywriting, the best picture, video quality, like all that's great. But if they focus on the what or the how, they're going to be burnt out and people really won't feel it. But if they strictly focus on the who being who is Derek, who is Michelle, who is he, who is her, who are all these people, why should we listen? So with that analogy is, who do you need to become to have people to actually listen to you? Because we've all seen people when we're scrolling online, they say something good, but we could tell that they don't live up to what they're saying. They're just like spewing information and people are like, oh yeah, he probably doesn't even live that. And then somebody else says it and they're like, yeah. And they're saying the exact same thing, but you can just tell the man or woman that's actually living it, they just have a different sense of energy. So I would focus on the who and being authentic online. So that way we're not scared of what to post or walking on eggshells. So what I tell like my clients and friends, I'm like, hey, the same dude you see on a Zoom call or in the app is the same guy you see in person. And people always laugh because they'll meet me and they're like, dude, the same thing you said on video, you said here. I said, yeah, I don't play a character. I just am myself, because I would feel weird trying to act on all these different accounts and be a different person and like hold my tongue and pretend. It's just very common and people can see through that. So be yourself authentically and make yourself proud. Who do you need to become for people to actually listen and to actually care? Because the Bible says thou shalt not judge, but we judge people all day long. Every couple minutes when we're scrolling, we're
for
like,
a second when shit, someone steps on stage or you see a video. Exactly. Yeah.
Like a basic example, and no offense if somebody's not in great shape, but since I was a kid and a teenager, I would never respect the teacher or the speaker that would come speak to the class that was out of shape. Because I would never say anything, but in my head, I'm like, this gentleman's speaking to me about discipline, but he has like a 4X shirt on. And like, I just saw him in the break room before this eating cookies and donuts at like 7 a.m.
It's like most health ministers around the world. You look at them and you go, they're not actually representing health.
Yeah. And on the 10-minute break, they would go outside and smoke a cigarette. And I'm like, this is the guy that our teacher has to speak to us. And I wouldn't say anything, but in my head, I'm like, this is so backwards. Like, what is happening? So with that example is, don't be that walking contradiction. Are you the walking example or the walking contradiction? Because it's way too common for people to just spew information. It sounds good, but they don't even live what they say. So for social media, focus on the who do you need to become, and share your journey. The only reason any of us connect with others or watch movies and read books is because we all love a comeback story. If you can share your struggles, you can share this. You used to live in your car. You had a divorce. You had this alcoholic parents. Anything that feels uncomfortable is exactly what we have to express. And it's actually very freeing, because some people, they don't go to therapy. They don't have a life coach. They don't speak to anybody. But if they can make a video about it or post about it on social media, they'll be surprised what happens. And the only people that will have problems with it are going to be people in your circle, your family or close friends. They're going to be like, oh, that's so weird. Why would you talk about your personal things? And they all do the same thing. Like, nobody knows anything about them. They always play the perfect person. But if you're open online, you connect with others. Even if somebody's not into coaching, it feels good when somebody's like, hey, I never realized that about you. No wonder you got into business. Oh, Roy went through this. Wow. I figured he was just always good at that thing. No, I used to. And they learn all these things. And that's the social connection. And I truly believe the power of social media. So you can bring that back by just focusing on the who and be more authentic. Just be yourself.
Beautiful. And I love what you had said earlier as well, that you were telling the story to your younger self. I think that's a brilliant way of getting your message out as well. As if, you know, because sometimes people are thinking, who's going to listen to this? But if you said, if the younger me heard this message, I think that's very powerful what you said.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, oh, brilliant. Listen, they're thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. You might let people know how they can find you.
Yeah, for sure. So they can find me on social media. They could just search my name, Derek Johnson, on Instagram. Instagram is my favorite app. It's Fit with Derek 2, the number 2, Fit with Derek 2. If you find another one, that's my old one. I got kicked out of that because I used to rant, but Fit with Derek 2, that's it. And besides that, my coaching website is fitwithderek.com. On there, I just like to show real people with real results, pictures and videos, and they can see the people's happiness and the pride. And I just like to show real people, real results, because online, there's a lot of Photoshop, there's a lot of Facetune and all other stuff. So everybody looks like they do in the picture and in the video. So
I'll make sure I'll put the link spot on the audio and the video. And Derek, you gave fantastic advice for all ages today. So I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Roy.
No problem. So that's all for the Speaking Podcast. You'll find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com. Take care. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, and share with your friends. And you'll find all my shows with the QR code or bio.link/podcaster, as well as my podcast coaching. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com, helping people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. Also, if you'd like to go on a podcasting tour, I can help you do that. And if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me on my bio.link/podcaster. Until next week, take care.